Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is an AFL off-season shitcast. My name is Heath, and the first question I ask every week is your highlight of the week. So, Josh, you got a highlight of the week past?
Actually a bit of a personal one, I suppose. The wife decided it was time to go for a bit of a family holiday, and by that she means her family.
Lovely.
So I'm getting tagged along, and the thing is too, it's my son's birthday while we're away as well, so I kind of have to. We're going to be in Mildura for the Country Music Festival, which is...
rock on.
Right. Yeah. But the thing is, my boss is on leave at the moment. So to get approval for that, I sent it through the system, and it's like, yeah, you need your boss's approval. Well, I can't get that. Or I need his boss's approval. He's on leave too. I need the regional boss's approval. Nope, she's on leave. Right. So I go to HR and I'm like, what do I do? And I said, well, did you go to your boss? Yeah, he's on leave. His boss? Yep, on leave. Anyone else that can sign off? I'm like, everyone's either on leave or a completely different system.
She's sounds like you don't actually need to go to work because no one knows you're there.
Pretty much. And they're like, have you asked the CEO? I'm like, I can. I kind of think he's got better shit to do. But in the end, no one would sign off on it. So I'm like, just, hey, boss, do you got a sec? Like, yeah, what you need? And he's thinking I'm quitting or something. Because, you know, otherwise, why bother the CEO? And I'm like, oh, I just need 3 days off. He's like, when? Oh, fortnight. He's like, yeah, cool, go for it. And that was it. I'm like, fucking HR could just sign that off. So yeah, my highlight was I got to hang out at the top for a little while.
Well, realizing you don't have a boss, pretty much.
Pretty much. So yeah, I just sort of chilled out, chatted to the EAs. Yeah, it's good. I realized that I could pretty much leave whenever I want to, however I want to. And as long as shit seems to be in the email, no one cares. Yeah.
That's it. As long as shit's getting done, nobody should care.
Is shit getting done, though?
No.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. Also, everyone else in the team sacked themselves and quit. So, you know.
Well, who signed off on that?
Apparently no one. But they're in Manila. So I'm not sure if they have severance packages or if you just get thrown out a window.
They might have been disappeared then, really.
Might have been.
Could be every chance. Brenton, you got a highlight of the week past?
Well, yeah. It was grand final day, but not for the reasons of the grand final. It was a big event on, happens once a year from... a Belgian brewery called Cantillon. They have a celebration of all lambic beers called Zvonzi Day. Just happens it falls on grand final day.
This sounds like the most hipster shit I've ever heard.
It really is. It really
Zvonzi
is.
Zvonzi Day. Oh, it's obscure Belgian beer lambic. You wouldn't know about it. It's very...
That's exactly what it is all about. They brew like a beer. They call it the Zvonzi beer. They brew it once a year, but they change what the beer is every single year.
Right.
So I was up at 8 a.m. drinking. So
just making shit up, in other words.
Well, I was getting drunk is what I was doing.
Yeah.
I think there were 28 different lambic style of beers. I managed to taste every single one before. It was 27 minutes took me to get through all 28 beers. So there were two sessions of punters coming through for the... We had waffles in the morning, actually.
And you had a nap in between?
No, I had shots is what I had in between. So I finished work at 2 p.m. I got out of there toasted as fuck before the grand final ever started. So that was a very, very long day. Managed to pound down some muscles before start. So Melbourne Football Club supporters had nothing on my grand final morning, I can tell you that much.
What the fuck is the blending of muscles and beer that Belgians are so fond of? Because honestly, they don't seem like great beer food.
Whatever's within arm's reach, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, there's one bar in Copenhagen, because basically they brew this beer and they send it to a few select bars all around the world. Most countries that participate only get one, maybe two venues. America gets a fuck ton. But in, pretty sure it was Copenhagen, they had a burlesque stripper at the front of their pub for that day.
Oh, good on.
That's how you do it. Yep. That is how you do it.
That'll work. I'm still stuck on the muscles. Because I remember going to the Belgian beer cafe, and they like have blue cheese muscles and whatnot. And it's like, I'm not convinced that's great beer food.
No.
I really hope the story behind it is that someone's just gone, Belgian, what do we need for Belgian beer cafe? Brussels, Muscles. Good idea. I like that.
Oh, another thing is one of my workmates, he actually worked at, I don't know, some craft beer bar in, I think it was Denmark or somewhere, and they had there, well, Zwanzi Day from a few years ago, they had this big Cantillon flag that just happened to go missing
right.
from their bar, and one of his mates actually stole it and then applied for a job there. So they had this post going out saying, you know, there'll be a reward if anyone brings it back.
Yeah.
And so his mate's like, fuck, I can't keep this flag because now I'm working there. So I gave it to him, made his way back into Australia, and now it's hanging up in the bar. And we're like, we want to start some international hostage situation where we can give you this back, but what are you going to do for us? We've managed to recover it with like a finder's fee.
Well, surely there's got to be a reward put up.
Yeah, yeah, there's got to be beer. So, yeah, if anyone in Denmark is listening to this, which is nobody because I can check the metrics.
Yep.
Hook us up some good shit. I'll give you a flag back.
Good stuff. All right, we may as well cover off the grand final before we get into the off-season.
We may as well, since it's the only game. What a fucking game it was, though.
Well, I am sick of seeing it almost already because it's now Wednesday, but because it's only one game and it is the grand final, it gets picked to pieces, but
yep.
we may as well pick it as well.
Actually, if I can add another highlight, it's the fact that some Collingwood supporters have put together a get-up petition to reverse some of the umpiring decisions, and I'm like, mate, I love the passion.
I can almost guarantee it was a West Coast Eagles supporter that's put it up and go, see, see?
Well, no, it was through a stolen computer.
Yeah.
But I appreciate there's salt there. And look, maybe there's a case on one or two decisions, but mate, come on.
It's done.
You should be used to this. You've lost 27 grand finals.
All up, though, I thought it was actually a really well umpired game.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Like, there were a couple of decisions that went both ways that I thought maybe a bit stiff, but I honestly don't think it impacted the result, even though the result was less than a goal.
No. And there was a few where I go, you know what, I would have called that a different way, but you heard the umpire explain why. And you look at it from where they were standing, you're like, you know what? He can only call what he can see.
Yeah.
And that's all you can ask for. The only one that I didn't like was the deliberate out of bounds with Trelaw. But
yeah, that was right.
I thought that was the wrong decision. But everything else, I'm like, okay, I disagree, but it's fine.
Yeah.
And that's really all it came down to. I thought it was a really, really well umpired game to finish off the year.
And realistically, you get 5 goals up, you should win a game.
Yeah, well,
you get 5 goals from the first quarter.
We'll start off with how Collingwood got out of the blocks, and god damn, it looked impressive. They just looked on.
Yep, yeah. And, I mean, it wasn't that West Coast didn't shut up. It's like Collingwood just followed on from the previous week.
It looked exactly like the Tigers.
Straight to them.
Well, I love the fact that we called it perfectly. We said it was speed and rapidity versus mature bodies, and that's exactly what we saw in the first quarter and all through the game, really.
Was it a tough call, to be honest, that one?
No, we're fucking experts.
What excuse did you use for me not being on the podcast last week?
You went on the podcast last week?
Butters was missing?
You're crying in the corner.
Oh, yeah, there's, yeah. Drunk in the corner as well.
But especially when Dugowie shrugged off two tackles and dobbed it from that pocket, and it went straight through the middle. Beautiful camera work again. And he's like, no, they're on. They can't stop this.
Well, that is something I did notice too. West Coast are normally a pretty good tackling side, but they just had limp-wristed bloody hand tackles.
They were too quick, the Collingwood players. You know, especially Dugowie and Stevenson.
How good was Stevenson? Jesus.
And, you've got a heart of stone if you weren't cheered with Varko kicking that first goal.
Jesus, love it too, yep.
He's taken another step up this year, moving to...
He has.
The last couple of years over at Collingwood. But he was career best form, I thought.
Oh, in the last few months. I think he was a bit hit and miss in the early part of the season. But for...
His finals campaign was flawless.
Spectacular. By far his best form.
Yeah, I think so.
And I think just the Collingwood game plan, obviously the injuries have been a big thing for their season, which has forced them to have that real quick, fast-running team. I feel like the team has sort of had to evolve around what his major sort of skill attributes are for his game style. It's brought him right into it. But also, I thought Mayne had a good game as well.
He had, again, a good final series as well. Especially, he was better against the Tigers.
Yeah.
He was in all the right places at the right time and had composure when he needed to have composure. It was an amazing start to the game. That you could just see it. I don't care what anybody says. The Eagles players going, oh no, not again.
Yeah.
And I think with about 2 minutes to go in the first quarter, down 5-0, Willy Rioli kicks their first goal, and I'm still convinced he kicked it by accident. It definitely came off the shin. That's no worries, but he had no choice on where that ball was going.
Yep.
If they don't kick that goal, I think they lose the game by 10 goals.
Well, it's hard to go into quarter time of a grand final with getting belted, your momentum's down, and having nothing to actually put your hat on. And the worst part was when they did get possession across, let's say, even the centre, which was pretty generous, but half back line, and they're trying to slow the pace down and kicking it backwards, they always screwed it up.
Yep.
Like every single time.
I didn't. It was so stagnant, though, because they, you know, swing it around the back and then go, no, nothing here. Well, we'll kick down the line anyway. Yeah. Well, you could have done that to start with.
That's exactly right. And you give Collingwood that opportunity to really set up and put their press into play, which they did fantastically.
It was amazing. But once Willie got that first goal, and then I think they got another quick one through Kennedy.
Yep.
And you can see after Kennedy missed his first one or two shots on goal, I'm not sure. We go, okay, we have a game now.
Yep.
But that was one of the best first quarters from Collingwood I've seen all year. It was better than anything they put up against Richmond.
And, yeah, do you think just having obviously playing in front of big crowds all the time, that was their sort of home, more or less?
I think so. I think that's really their home ground advantage isn't the MCG. It's the 100,000 people.
Yeah.
They're used to it.
Because there was no stage fright on their behalf.
None whatsoever. Eagles are used to playing in front of big crowds, but they're used to playing in front of 60,000 Eagles supporters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not 50,000 us, 50,000 them.
Yeah.
I remember seeing last week some old duck decided West Coast were definitely going to win the prelim, so she started driving over the Nullarbor.
I did, I saw that.
I'm thinking, how the fuck is that in any way economical? Like, the amount of money you'd lose in petrol, plus you're going to have to stay a couple of nights along the way, because it ain't like it's a 24-hour trip. It's like 3,600 Ks or some shit.
It's got to be a three-day drive, surely.
Yeah, so you factor in, she's probably going to go through 300-odd litres of petrol. That's about $600 when you're in the Nullarbor, buying at $2 a litre.
Yep.
Considering it's about $1.60 or $70 mil at the moment. Throw in a couple of nights accommodation, a couple hundred bucks, and you're looking at a grand one way.
I think you can be excused for letting the truth get in the way of a good story, too. Like, when they said, I'm starting over driving now, I'm like, you know what, maybe we're just going to be mates, and then,
Well, she hitched up the caravan, so she was heading out.
And, flights were ridiculously expensive coming across from Western Australia as well. I think it was Mason Cox said it was cheaper for him to fly his parents from Texas than it was for the Eagles fans to come into Melbourne.
It may very well have been.
Just had to go via Darwin, that's all.
So after that first quarter, it looked like it was going to be one-way traffic until they got some time on goals in, which gave us a game. I thought the second quarter was actually trash.
It was terrible.
It was terrible football.
But mate, was there a goal kicked in the second?
Yeah, I think there was two to one.
Towards the end?
2-1. But it was a good, I think, the first 10 or 15 minutes there was... It didn't look like it was getting a goal either. And there's one thing to have good, tight footy, but it was sloppy.
Yeah.
I think it was just that pressure, frantic.
Yeah, the pressure was there, but the skills weren't.
No, and it was a battle of almost the Eagles' back line just pumping it out, and then some fumbles, and maybe they got it to the forward line, but Collingwood was having all these opportunities to put it into their forward 50 and never really making it work.
I was watching with my old man, and I said, thank God it's a grand final, because otherwise I'd be turning this shit off.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I think, too, part of it was that both teams knew that the next goal mattered so damn much. Yeah. Because if Collingwood get another couple, game's over. West Coast pull another couple, it's all right.
Game on.
Yeah, they were so desperate not to concede that they kind of didn't do anything.
It became very conservative play from both teams.
It was a rush to do nothing.
Yeah, exactly. There's a few, big-name players that to this stage had done fuck all, especially Darling. And everyone pointed it out, like, that's six quarters, mate. You haven't done shit in grand finals. And I don't think Cox had a possession to halftime either.
No, I don't think Grundy had much of an impact either up to that moment.
He had no impact all day.
Well, West Coast really did have the right strategy of spoiling Cox's mark by, putting one person to go off the mark, another person just chop his arms.
And
it worked perfect.
And don't let him have that free run at the ball.
Yeah.
But really, a lot of that came down to as well that side bottom was cut out of the game.
Yeah.
You've got to say Hutchings did his job and was unlucky not to be mentioned when it came to votes and stuff like that. Because at one stage, they had to put side bottom to the goal square just to try and isolate him and try and get the tag off him.
Was it the start of the second when they put Treloar starting off a full forward? Was that the start of the third?
He didn't quite look right after halftime, I don't think.
No. Well, he did have a hamstring strain or something like that, I think, which was
he pulled both hamstrings last time they played the Eagles.
Yeah. But I'm pretty sure he had a little bit of niggle, but obviously grand final, you jab him up, send him back out there.
Yeah.
Anyway, going to halftime, the game's still on. Coming out in the third quarter was an amazing turnaround, I thought. And that's where Jack Darling started to shine.
Yeah.
He started to actually make some marks.
Started to clunk some marks, and you go, well, not much you can do. He's finally turned it on. Something's happened. He's clunking marks, he's kicking goals, and so is Big Coxie.
Well, that's just it. At the other end, Coxie decided, fuck it, I'm here to play too. Yep. And either of those two could have turned the game. And you know, one of them kind of did.
Well, they both did for their teams at different moments, you know?
Yeah. And you know, there's no better intercept mark than Cox. Contested mark, just because he's so fucking big. Yeah, and all his marks are technically contested because everyone's trying to get there. They're just not big enough.
In September, there is, yeah. There's nobody.
And the thing is, with someone like Cox, I mean, you can chop his arms, and the umpire will call it sometimes, but if you do it every single time, there's like almost free kick fatigue, where you're just like, ah, oh, I'm just here calling it, you know what I mean? It becomes part of the game.
It's sad, but it's true. Like, we need Dickie Bird to come in and just keep calling. He's like, if they keep doing it, I'll keep calling it.
Yeah, yep.
Razor Ray would have called it.
But I'll tell you what, the AFL would have been absolutely loving it, going at three-quarter time, scores level. What more can you ask for? It just goes to show, like, it doesn't need to be the highest of skilled games. If the scores are tight and everything's on the line, you're enthralled. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Well, you knew with how hard that second quarter was, with both teams following, it was like big efforts put in by both teams.
It had to get better.
But it had to break open just from fatigue from both players, by both sides.
I feel like the fatigue did hit Collingwood harder because obviously being a hard-running team, they rely on their fitness and gas tank a lot more than the bigger bodies at West Coast do, even though the bigger bodies will generally wear out first. But, you know, a bigger, stronger body, suddenly they're able to stick those tackles because they can't run away as quickly.
And they got themselves sorted down the back, especially in the first quarter where Collingwood got away. They just had space, so much space. Yeah. West Coast didn't have anybody quick enough to run with them. But I thought, especially second quarter onwards, Schofield started to go down back and marshal it around. He won, I reckon, three or four one-on-ones and two-on-ones that should have resulted in goals. Mm-hmm. He had one of the best games I've seen from a backman without touching the stat sheet.
It's
so impressive how he went.
And I think Brass stepped up in that second half as well.
Brass, yeah. Yeah, well,
he did really well.
He had a lot of the work on Cox. So in the third quarter, Cox got hold of him a little bit. But he had a great game. Just making sure there was a contest.
Well, the two ones for me were, I tipped Shuey to win the Normie, and I was
you
right
did?
On that one.
Yep.
So pretty stumped with that one.
Tipping it's one thing, betting on it's another.
No, I did have money.
You did? There you go. Yeah.
What was his odds? It must have been massive for you to bet on it.
No, I bet on it. I actually bet on it into West Coast, into, I think, decision by under 12 points. So I actually got a decent collect off that one.
Yeah.
Nice.
On a side note, Brooke to win the Bachelor. There you go.
Brooke to win the Bachelor.
Yeah. Okay.
You have no idea what that means, but it's 6-1, so go for it. Okay. Shuey and Hearn, I thought. Hearn, while he didn't have the stat impact that Shuey did, he was just relentless in his bullheadedness.
Yeah.
Which is what you want from a captain. They don't need to be the best player. Just need to be the player that whenever you feel like you're cactus and you can't run a further thing, you see this older bastard with bald head and, you know, built like a brick fucking shit house, just going, nah, I've still got more left in me. Let's go, boys.
The hairline was going, but the effort wasn't.
Yep.
Exactly. That's what you need in a captain. Like, inspiration comes from not giving up, not from doing the spectacular shit.
Yeah. And I think both teams had similar, like, players that could put their hand up for that. I think it was, like, in the third and in the fourth where Maine, I saw someone saying it was, he had 14 tackles, but all of them were effective tackles.
Yeah, right.
And he was kicking it 100% for, I don't know, three quarters or something like that, which is a magnificent effort.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't know, it's still hard to see how Collingwood lost the game. I still can't pinpoint it to one thing where it's like, all right, this is where they fucked up.
It seemed like it was a grind.
And there was no big body to help them out. Like, Grundy is a great ruckman, but he's a big boy, don't get me wrong, but he's not that physical boy.
Yeah.
Physical, like, you get like guys like Treloar, Pendlebury, Sidebottom, when they're getting manhandled, you need someone that can come in and say, how about you cut that shit out, or I'm going to choke slam your ass. Yep. They didn't have it. So the bigger bodies of West Coast, every time those guys got the ball, they put them to ground. Yep. Even if they disposed of it, and they knew that, you know, you might give away a holding the man or whatever, doesn't matter. Every time they're getting up from getting a bruising tackle, and it's still a legal tackle.
Yeah. Well, there's one that should have been 50. I can't remember who it was, but
there was a couple of those kind of things that came up, but
that's the way West Coast had to play. They needed to play the physical game. And to be honest, this wasn't the most physical grand final by any means.
Yeah.
But I just thought the hardness of West Coast took its toll in the second half.
I think it was me and Heath were talking, might have been last week before in the car, about one thing you don't realise is that obviously when you tackle, you want to make it hard for them to literally just stand up. It doesn't matter if you just push them down a bit, because you don't realize how difficult it is to stand up over and over and over again until you've been through that situation. And things like Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is a good example of that. Mm. You don't realize how fucking tired you get from literally just having to stand up.
That's all the time.
Yeah. And so if you make that difficult across the course of a whole game, that adds up. It's almost like body shots in a boxing match or something like that.
But particularly when you've got no momentum. Like if you get knocked off the ball, you've still got momentum to roll to your feet and stand up and whatever. When you get planted and then you see them just put their hand fair in their chest or in their face or whatever to stand up themselves, it's like, well, I'm all right. I'm using you to boost me.
It was like a Collingwood going for the knockout blow and West Coast were just, nah, we're here. This is a five-rounder. Yeah, we're going to get to the end, and they used up every second they had.
Well, they had to. Well, the start of the fourth, where Collingwood came out and banged two, real quick time. You're like, you just had that feeling. And even through, 20 minutes of that fourth quarter, they still had the bounce of the ball.
Yep.
It seemed like they still had, things going their way. You had that feeling that they're going to get across the line.
Well, it was funny because, it was such a struggle. But in that fourth quarter, I think we had three goals in 90 seconds to start it off. Which you kept a minute. And to be honest, West Coast should have won by four or five goals in that last quarter. They were peppering the goal face and just could not get one through. And we've seen this happen with so many games before where you have 4 points or 5 points in a row and then it goes down the other end and they kick a goal.
They
were so good at being able to stop that and just choke up Collingwood. They couldn't get it out of their half-back line. And a lot of that was, you saw the Eagles... during the second half, kicked down the line to a big marking target, and that was Darling or Kennedy
was down there a few times,
or Vardy. And Vardy took some great
grabs. I
thought
Vardy had a good game.
He had a great game.
Lysette too.
And Collingwood didn't have that option. They had Cox a few times, but they didn't have the other one. And Grundy couldn't get loose.
Yeah.
Because he was being double-teamed, obviously.
And a lot of the problems were when they did have a bit of run, especially coming out of their back line, they go on the fat side, they'd have a few runners, they start streaming down. And there's one mistake, and the laziness of West Coast to push back turns into an advantage because it's straight back in there, and you've got loose players.
Well, that's the advantage of the way they play, which is the same way Richmond play, in the quick turnover, half-back, fast break.
Yeah.
That if you counter turnover, all their players are forward, all their players are free.
Well, it was similar, too, to the Collingwood-Richmond game, where I saw, it might have been Vlosten or somebody, saying, part of the game was... the ball comes in the half-back line and, we make a contest and pick it up on the ground and run it forward. There's only one problem if the ball doesn't hit the ground.
Yeah.
And that happened against Richmond with Cox taking all those marks. And it happened against Collingwood with West Coast with Vardy and Darling and the rest of them. They were just too good in the air.
Yeah.
And McGovern as well coming across. I thought,
he did fucking well.
If a couple of balls went a different way, he could have had a Norm Smith around his neck as well.
Yeah. But even in those, after Sheeds kicked the goal, and they've got it back down there, and who was it that dropped it right in the goal square?
Darling. On the goal line.
Yeah, are you like, uh-oh, this is where that happens?
I was thinking he Hansi Cronje'd it.
Yeah, it was unbelievable how he could do it. And for a moment there, because he dropped a big mark in the third quarter of the 2015 one that went all the way down the other end to a goal, and you went, well, that was the end of the game.
Yeah.
The margin was still within a goal when that happened with Darling.
Yeah.
And part of you hoped that it wouldn't happen, that it'd go down the other end, because that ruins a life.
Yeah.
Not a
yeah.
career, a yeah. life. Yeah. If you drop one wide open on the goal line by yourself with a minute left.
To absolutely seal the deal. And they just need one push. They've got possession. They can do this. They've done this many times before. It's just about finding that loose player and they run. But, and then that's it.
The rest of the team helped him out and made sure it didn't happen.
Yep.
You got to talk about that final goal to Sheed and the play all down the...
Selfish.
the outside wing. A great mark from McGovern, a strong mark from Vardy, and a great mark from Liam Ryan. Ryan pulled out of two or three contests on the day as well.
He did. He was running with an injury from memory because he had he pulled out at quarter time or something.
I'm not sure. Yeah, it was in the... I can see it. I don't know what quarter it was, but I remember him doing it. Where he's running back with one and he's gone, reaching out with the arms rather than putting the body on the line to mark it. And he is probably the lightest player on the ground.
Yeah. Although he did do a fucking good shirt front.
Yeah.
Great. Wasn't it great?
Was right in a breadbasket.
I did see some people go, oh, that's terrible. No, that's legit.
Well, I was watching the game with the old man and he said, oh, you can't do that. I said, what's the free kick for then? What is it?
Yeah.
Didn't hit him high.
It's not high. It's not in the back.
And if he tackles him, it's a free because he hasn't got possession.
It's not a marking contest. And he's got his hands on the ball, so it's within 5 meters. He's like, you're right, it's just brutal.
Yeah, I haven't seen that cheapish when someone's like exposed like that. Yeah,
I think it was Maynard he hit. It was just fantastic. I saw somebody trying to say, oh, it's charging. I'm like, no.
Nah. This isn't basketball.
Now, look, I can appreciate that, look, maybe it is a little cheap, but this is a contact sport. And as Big John says, protect yourself at all times.
It's not cheap at all. I don't see why. It's a guy going for the ball and you hit him fair and square. That's part of the game.
But I want that to happen more often because players need to learn to protect themselves.
Yep.
And not just for the spectacle of the game that we need the bump. It's for their own health.
It's not just protecting yourselves. It's your teammates too. That was a horrible hospital hand pass.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
For sure.
But anyway, going back to that long goal, there's, you know, three tough contested marks and then the final, you know, was it a block out or whatever? It doesn't matter.
It wasn't in Ryan's face, so it should have been Ryan's kick anyway.
You mean Willie Rioli?
Sure, why not? Yeah. Was Daniel Wells there? Or was it Lindsay Thomas? I'm not sure.
But I thought it's probably not a. It probably was a block. It probably was a free kick, but it wasn't paid, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, there was high contact. There was a hold. There was a block.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know what you're going to call it, but everyone's going to be wrong.
But how often when you see two players put hands on each other, which they both fucking did?
Yeah,
does an umpire give a
kick
like that? And they absolutely shouldn't. They were wrestling. That's the way it is.
And the umpire had a different vantage point than we had. You know, he was on a different angle, so maybe he saw something different as well. So I got no problem with that.
But even if we decide, it should have been a free kick. So fucking what?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's gone. But how good was that fucking kick?
Yeah. Incredible kick.
Like, and the camera.
Yeah.
Beautiful, right behind it.
If that was me, I would be telling every motherfucker I ever meet about that moment.
Oh, he's done.
Every person that pulls on boots, whether you're a guy, a girl, whatever, that's the moment you dream of, where you're like, all right, slight angle, team's down by a few points, got a free kick, or, you know, taking a mark, whatever you want to fucking call it.
It's goal of the year.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, for sure.
It's a drop punch.
It's the most important goal that's been kicked, probably for a few years, actually. Yeah. But that's the moment that every football player lives for.
Yeah.
And I think just about every AFL player would want that kick.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, his heart would have been beating a million minutes per second.
Off the boot, though. It's in the middle. Yep. It's not going anywhere.
If he does nothing for the rest of his career, he still had a good one.
Yeah, that's it. It goes down in folklore. They'll still be talking about it in 50 years' time.
Well, every time they replay highlights of that match, that kick's involved.
Yeah, well, that whole passage of play.
Yeah.
It's one of the greatest passages of plays leading to a goal in grand final
and
history.
Just willing a goal out of you know, what could be the dagger in the coffin.
Especially after they missed the previous six.
Well, Jack Darling should be fucking grateful for that, because otherwise his drop mark would be the...
His drop mark came after that, which is...
Doesn't matter. It's still, that's...
But it was a funny old game, though, because there was a lot of passengers on both sides still.
I did see Lacroix had a big thing where he's just decided to rip it up and get on Snapchat or whatever and says you can't see what happened and all that shit. Well, mate, you were a passenger.
Well, he's still, you know, he's a 200-plus gamer and he's a premiership player. But, yeah, he was the one I thought. So I thought, you didn't fuck all, champ. But you're a premiership player, so what does it matter?
I did see he celebrated the most of anyone. Like, that's the most you've exerted yourself all day, big fella.
Well, there's still a good chance he's going to pull up stumps. He hasn't announced anything yet, but, you know, why would you? You know, enjoy the moment.
He's probably still pissed.
Exactly.
And fair play.
But, there was still a few players that had quiet games, but it doesn't matter. You're a premiership player now.
Yeah, so I'd rather be a quiet premiership player than the bloke that had a blinder but didn't get shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was easily a very enjoyable game to watch.
Goldsack was okay in patches, but not as influential as he was a week before.
Wow, and Kennedy was great. Kennedy was on.
Realistically, you're talking about best full forwards running out at the moment. It's Kennedy and Buddy.
Okay, exactly. He had a great game, Kennedy. He only missed his first one, which could have got him off on the right foot. But after that, he was fantastic. Up the ground as well.
It's not how you start.
No.
Yeah, you get across the line.
That's it.
The worst trade ever. T-shirt he got.
As his teammates called him. It's taken a little while, but they finally got there. It was a great win.
You'd say they got the best of that in the end then, because Carlton didn't get shit out of it, really.
Oh, they got a Brownlow. And, you know, I think the real winner of that trade was recycling.
Yeah.
But anyway, and like Josh said, Shuey was a good Norm Smith medalist. No problem with that.
Yeah. I mean, you could make an argument for a couple of other players, but I don't think anyone's going to really complain.
I saw the voting. The top four, not a wrong choice there.
Yeah.
You know, there rarely is for Norm Smith.
Who was voting on the Norm Smith this year?
Gavin Wanganine was the captain.
Yep.
Or the chairman of it. And I know John Longmire was another one, but I can't remember the other couple.
So people actually know what they're talking about.
Yeah, and there was a couple of journos as well. But it just escapes me who they are right now. But there was only four for some reason.
Did Wanganine get a Norm Smith? I only got a Brownlow.
No, he got a Brownlow. The year he won, 93, was Michael Long.
Hard to argue with that one.
Yeah, fair call.
And I can't remember 2004 with Port Adelaide. Might have been
Pickett.
Pickett.
Yeah.
I know he won one. That was probably that year.
Pretty sure that's it, because he just fucking destroyed people.
Speaking of, I love Grand Final Day because I watch everything that goes on. You know, the longest kick, you know, Hawthorn got up. I gave you that tip last week.
That was a bit of a surprising one.
The start of the 50-meter, of the 100-meter race.
Yep.
Did everyone just go, all right, well they're the winners?
Of the final.
Yeah. As soon as they show the camera, no idea who those are, who they play for, but they're winning.
Yeah.
The
16-year-old sprinters.
Yep. It did a bit look like, you know, the Commonwealth Games where you've got Jamaica turning up and scoring.
Yeah.
Right. You boys going for third.
Or the North and South American Championships in basketball.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So the sprint. I said it'll be a Hawthorn double for the sprint and longest kick. Jarman Ippi slipped over in the cheats. He came dead last in his seat. And I went, well,
I did see that. Luke McDonald beat him. He should be fucking ashamed.
I said he finished last. He didn't get out of the blocks.
McDonald half pissed.
I was really disappointed that the North Melbourne Mazda didn't get a go. Hasn't lost a race all season.
Mazda versus the Jeep. But I was also watching the under 17 All Stars early on in the day.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's terrible. You can only watch it through the app. I thought they would have put it on Fox Footy or something. But anyway, there was...
Why the fuck don't they put the fucking Brownlow red carpet on Fox Footy? Yeah.
And it's played at fucking 9 a.m. It's like, well, nobody's going to come in, watch that, and then go away for, you know, 4 hours until the next something happens. But anyway, Byron Pickett's cousin, I think his name was Cozzy, or Cozzy Pickett, looked good.
Yeah,
he looked real good.
I think Byron's got a couple of sons and that are in the academies too.
Yeah, but the best player for that for me was there's a lad named Mead, and he's a father-son prospect for Port Adelaide.
Right.
But, geez, he looked so good on the ball, you know. They're my couple of picks for, you know, two years' time. I think Billy Brownless's son kicked a nice goal from the pocket.
He's supposed to be all right, actually.
Little banana. Geelong will probably pick him up because God knows they love a father-son pick.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Just a quick look. Byron Pickett, he played 55 games for Port,
29
for Melbourne, and 120 for North. So his son coming our way.
There you are.
Yeah, well, like I said, it was his cousin that was playing. But
whatever. Who knows?
But anyway, that'll wrap up the grand final for the year. It was a very enjoyable game.
To be fair, a lot of people shat on Collingwood, but... Fuck, they're going to be dangerous.
They're not getting worse.
I tell you what, that's one of the best seasons in Collingwood have ever had.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I hate Collingwood as much as the next one, and I was definitely cheering for West Coast in this. But, you know, I thought Buckley's had one of the best years he's ever had.
With the injuries he had, every new bloke he put in turned up.
Even in his playing days, this is a better year than that. And just the way he's carried himself as well. Yeah. I mean, everyone goes through, you know, the Collingwood banner fell apart and he goes and hugs all the bloody cheer squad.
And the runner.
That's just, it's good composure. It's just knowing.
Just unfortunate that he's cursed.
Yes, it was. You mentioned the runner as well, Alex Woodward.
Yeah.
not his fault at all. That was a shit-ass kick.
Yeah, it was. It was. But
but he's always going to blame himself.
He is. Yeah. And look, I don't... He shouldn't blame himself because the rules allow him to be where he was. But I don't think the rules should allow him to be where he was.
Yeah, maybe. They're going to change the rules. But he was fine where he was. The kick was shit.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
The kick shouldn't have gone where it went.
And even if he wasn't there, good chance it wouldn't change what happened with that kick.
No, I 100% would not have changed the thing. Elliot Yeo was going to mark that anyway. Mm-hmm. All that he could have done was Stevenson could have got there late and given away a 50. Yeah. That's well, the only thing that could have happened.
If that's you, you still feel fucking terrible.
Of course you do. Of course you do.
Let's be honest. Some players, when they hear the feet coming towards, might panic and drop. Yeo won't.
He won't be able to hear a thing in the middle of the MCG. All right. So that gets the footy out of the way for the year. We'll get into the trade silly talk, but I will say before we do... Part of me, like when Hawthorn were winning premierships, part of me did wish there was just that 1 week grace where you could just reflect on it. But it's not the way things are now because, free agency starts in 2 days' time.
Yeah, it's shitposting season.
Yeah, you get straight into it. Like, it's the Monday. It's, well, here's a celebration. And Tom Lynch has picked, you get straight into it. Trades, and he's nominated this club and he's nominated that club. I just, 1 week's grace is all I'd ask for. But I know it's never going to happen because, all the footy clubs want to get it done, get out of the way and have their holidays.
Actually, speaking of shitposting, one little rumour that I heard today from my sources.
Let's get straight into it. Yep.
Shane Mumford.
Yeah, there's not a rumour. It was on AFL.com from your fucking sources.
Hey, we've all got sources. Mine are pretty reliable.
He's thinking about making a comeback for GWS. You remember the last time that player made that comeback and it worked well?
None. Michael Jordan.
That's right, yeah. Never in the AFL. No, it hasn't happened.
Until Alex Johnson does.
Interestingly. So, look, I think that's he'll change his mind in, I don't know, 3 or 4 days' time.
To be fair, he hasn't decided yet. He's going to wait until pre-season's over. and then he'll make his mind up.
So we've seen a lot of action this week in players nominating their clubs, and we may as well start with North because that's what you want to talk about. And that 2 out of 3 ain't bad, and that's where they're at so far.
Well, actually, it's looks more pretty like good. 4 out of 5 because... Jacobs, Anderson, and Wright have all signed back.
Signings and don't count.
No. Fucking earth they do.
Fucking hell.
Anderson probably should have gone, to be honest, but fuck it.
You reckon?
Well, for him...
Injuries are only his thing, that's all.
Yeah, he had a breakout season. And
think the inclusions are going to put him in trouble?
Oh, hell no. I think he plays an inside, tough mid, well, he did for that season, very, very well. He and Cunnington will swap out, and any opposition midfield will have a hard time getting contested possession with those two in there. But he could have definitely gone for more than he did, just basing that solely on the fact that Greenwood went for a shit ton more than he should have and almost was a premiership player.
Yeah.
And had a good game, too.
He had a great game.
Hall has openly said he's going north. Polek, obviously, said he's going north. And the amount of times that Gaff has apparently said he is going, said he isn't going. Well, I don't know. My sources say he's going, and my source is me. Which is pretty much puts me in the same category as every other AFL journalist, I think.
I believe 6PR, which is the Perth radio, reported on the Sunday. It was after the game. Like, nearly straight after the game. They said Gaff's already signed. Well, it's Wednesday now, and that contract hasn't...
We can't definitely sign anyway, but he looked absolutely gutted.
Well, he can with West Coast, which is what they were reporting.
Which, really, if you're going to sign, you're going to sign there. But who the fuck knows, really? Yeah. But he looked completely gutted after the match.
Well, as he should.
Nick Nat was, upset. Yeah. But with Nick Nat, it was his, injury. When it's Gaff, you're like, mate, you could have been there. Not just been there, you could have been a major contributor.
Not only that, even if he stays, he won't be there for the unveiling of the flag. He's still got two games to go.
Yeah,
that's true.
So, and they're not going to unveil it in round 3. But anyway.
Also, how much would it suck being a player on the list and not getting the medal?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
every reunion is like, do you still turn up to the reunions or is it just the 22?
Well, I thought about that, but yeah, a lot of them do. I noticed that the West Coast, when they had their 10-year 2006 reunion, I noticed that Brent Staker was there. And obviously, because he's a Broken Hill boy, I kept up with his career, and I know for a fact that he doesn't have a medal.
How would you feel, though?
I guess time heals it, but right then and there at the moment, you probably feel like shit.
But I don't know about time healing it that much. Because when you look up on the wall or whatever, they've got it at their club rooms, I don't know.
On the lockers.
On the lockers, etc. Yeah. And You see the 22 and your name's not there. So when the players are going up, you know, singing the song or whatever they do, I don't know what their old timers are like, you're sitting down in the crowd with every other fucker.
Mostly in prison. We're talking West Coast.
Oh, 6 feet lower. But, geez, it'd be acid.
Yeah, it would. But, you know, it's like Bob Murphy in 2016 as well. You know, even though Bevo gave him a medal and stuff and he had that moment, it's not the same.
No. Would you rather be like a player on the team, on the squad that didn't make the grand final team, or would you rather be Brett Deledio?
that left and
pretty much allowed your original team you love to get
a
premiership.
I guess it depends why you leave. Like, if it's the club's idea, then you're kind of like, well, you know.
Well, Brett Deledio left to get a flag.
Yeah, that's kind of when you fuck up. That's the Treloarism too.
On the same token, I remember when Chris Tarrant retired. Now, he played in four grand finals, or one, two, yeah, at least, you know, he played in 2002, 2003. I think he might have played in another losing one with Collingwood. But he said, you know, I've had 250-odd game career.
Did he play a losing one with Freo?
No, he wasn't playing at Freo then. Right. I think I remember saying, like, you know, I didn't expect to play 200 games. You're like, sure, I didn't win a premiership, but geez, I've had a good career.
Fucking oath. And
you know, all Australian and whatnot, you know.
Forward and back.
So
ridiculous.
He just said, you know, I've had a great career. I can't, you know, deny that. And yeah, I didn't win a premiership, but Jesus. Yeah.
Majority of players don't.
Yeah, when you're on draft day, that's far more than you'd expect. Yeah. So you can't be disappointed. I mean, you can when your mates run around, but at the same time, you've done all right.
When he's had the career he's had, and then his brother gets a flag, he'll be pissed.
Yeah. I'm sure it's bound to happen. But yeah, so the Gaff one has been the most interesting. I've got a feeling now that he is going to sign, just because he hasn't signed with West Coast. And if, you know, if you're going to...
Going
to
go, you
and
mean.
It probably, the premiership might make it, you know, easier for him, because if they had lost, it'd be like this unfinished business.
Yeah.
But now it's... Well, you guys have got one. I've got to go find my own.
Well, I think maybe too. He's just he's a bit like Mumford, and he's like, North have already started their preseason. Fuck that. I'm going to hang out for a bit. You know, pretty keen to. I'm not going to round three anyway, so fuck it. But you know, he's obviously the. I wouldn't say the more.
Well,
the one of the biggest, but Scheel being the other one.
Well, I think Tom Lynch is obviously the biggest one. But...
Lynch has just today, I think it was, come out and said he's going Richmond.
I can't remember if it was Taylor.
But Collingwood were in the market for him and May. And Jesus Christ, if you had added those two there, they're certainly not going to go backwards with those two in the squad.
Yeah. But yeah, Lynch, I mean, everyone knew he'd pick the Tigers.
Yeah, which is a matter of journalists press and publish.
Yeah.
That story was written a long time ago.
It would have been a nervous time for all the journos as well. Obviously, they've already written it and just waiting to press that button. It's done. Who can press it first? Ah, I got it. I got there. Yes, you beauty. But anyway, so I reckon Gaff's just about there.
I think so too.
I think it'll be announced tomorrow. But he's free agent, isn't he?
So West Coast will probably get pick 19.
19, or it might actually be 20 or 21, depending, you know, because all the other... compo picks that go in there first and that kind of stuff.
I'm not sure what other compo picks are likely.
Well, Tom Lynch is one.
Yep.
Well, yeah, that's true. The only other one I think of is Lysette is probably a fair chance to go.
He's
as
a
well.
Later pick, yeah.
But they might give him a first rounder as well, just because his salary is probably going to be pretty high. So it might be pick.
Well, they might feel sorry for him.
If we're sticking without any other compensation, they'd have 18, 19, 20, which for those guys, then they'll probably trade off a couple, you know. Maybe they'll do pick swaps. Who the fuck knows? But, they'll be looking pretty hot on it. But like I said, Lynch will go. Scheel is more than likely going to head to Hawthorn. But just today, I think Carlton stepped up with a massive offer.
Well, by the sounds of it, Hawthorn are offering about 800 grand a year and Carlton are offering 1.2, 1.3.
Yeah.
And Saints have thrown in something around that mark as well.
And top that off,
Jesus Christ.
Carlton also threw Josh Kelly an offer of 1.4, 1.5 per year.
I tell you what, that's what you got to do. I love it that they're trying, but...
They absolutely have to.
Jesus Christ. If he says no to that,
to me, I'm not going to pretend to be unbiased by any means, but if he's got a two-year contract with GWS, and their premiership window is slightly open still.
Yeah.
At least they're much closer than Carlton are.
Well,
and Josh Kelly's price won't go down in a year.
No.
So if you're him, you're like, all right, I'll play 2019 at GWS and then evaluate. And then, because if Carlton are still wooden spoon, yeah. you're like, fuck that.
Let's face it, if Carlton don't spend 1.4 on him, they're probably going to bank it and go, all right, next year.
Yeah.
And so the offer's still there, you know, in 12 months' time for him.
Absolutely will be.
He's going to be the highest paid player in the AFL regardless.
Yeah. They did say it would be the record, but it'd be buddy money on less years.
Yeah.
And Carlton also delisted Casbolt.
No, not delisted. They've said, you know what, if you can find a trade, yeah, mate, go and find it. But they haven't delisted him yet. Well, they may still do once trade period ends.
Yeah. Honestly, I think he's got value. Like, it's a contested mark. He's brilliant.
Yeah, of course, but can't kick.
Play him off halfback. Neither can Magic Door. He's had a good season. But,
I saw, you know.
I still think you put Sheely in that team alone, it's still not a brilliant team. It's still a mid team.
Yeah.
It's not a bottom four.
At Carlton, you're talking. Yeah. Him and Cripps makes a good addition, but, you know, they've obviously flagged that they're going to get Mitch McGovern from Adelaide as well. And Adelaide aren't going to play nice when it comes to the trade table. So.
Well, they'll have. Carlton have two first rounders anyway.
Well, they'll get pick one, obviously. I don't know if they get a second first round.
They're not getting a compo pick. Compo pick.
No.
They'll pick one up somewhere.
Yeah.
GWS probably.
Yeah, who knows? I don't think they've got much else they're trying to shop out. But, it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out.
But I do think Mitch McGovern isn't the bigger body that his brother is.
No.
So I still
think... He's handy.
I still think they need a big body backman. Because Wittering... He's a bigger lad, but he's not that throw your body around lad.
He had a quiet year, you know, and he got dropped to VFL as well. But you know, he's another preseason under his belt. But they just haven't got enough big bodies in total.
Yeah, I agree. And even look at the big bodies they do have are fragile, like Cruiser.
Yeah, well, you just about got to write Cruiser off now.
I think you do.
Yeah,
because I think he's 30 or 31, 32 with history of injuries. You know, and that's never got to see the best of him.
That's where, to me, the stories of Proust going to Melbourne. I'm like, why the fuck is he going to Melbourne? There's literally every other team except Collingwood would be a better home for him than Melbourne.
Well, thinking about it, you know, Melbourne got done by the Eagles in that final, in the prelim, you know, got absolutely smashed because Gawn's been rucking alone. So clearly, if Melbourne have gone and said, you know what, we need two ruckmen. We're going to play two ruckmen. We got Gawn and then we got you. I can see it. I can see the sense of it, but and that'll be what Melbourne will have to sell to Proust to get him across. And Big Maxi, apparently he's all for it. So, you know, if you got his endorsement, maybe. Yeah.
Well, there's one criticism of Maxi and Grundy is that they're not the physical ruckman. Like, they're not the blokes who will powerbomb motherfuckers.
I disagree with that, but yeah.
Well, not as physical as some of the old boys, yeah. And definitely wouldn't powerbomb their own captain like Proust did.
Yeah, that was a bit of a mistake. Yeah.
But I think if you're Carlton, he's worth more than what Melbourne are going to pay him.
Yeah, but would you want to go to Carlton?
No, but look.
I mean, you'll get a game. You'll get, you know.
That's just it. He could.
You get the paper bags, but.
2-year contract at Carlton, and for his role, you're going to play ruckman, probably have a fair bit of time on the bench too, because you'll be gassed out. And your role is to belt the shit out of anyone who's getting near Sheil or Cripps or. Any other midfield youngsters? Ed Curnow's probably trying to do that move, but he's not
Charlie.
Too sharp.
He can look after Charlie Curnow.
He can do that too.
Ed can look after himself.
That's Ed Curnow tries to play the enforcer, but he's not the sharpest knife in the drawer, right. And yeah. I don't think he realises that he's probably giving up a few kilos to a lot of those lads. But, I mean, Carlton, they won't win the spoon next year because Gold Coast
have already got it. Yeah.
You know, I'm waiting on the text to say if I've got a gig there.
Well, Gold Coast may as well just, like, they should... Not be Gold Coast, they should bring back university. Because it's pretty much young kids go in there and they get trade off somewhere else.
Is it still a rebuild if you've never built?
I don't know what's going on. I don't know why they're still considered a club.
Yeah, well, that's why. University, they can actually just be getting some experience in there. Then, you know, trade kids out.
Especially if May ends up
getting... They should get the top five draft picks every year.
Yeah. If May ends up getting traded, that's, you know, every captain in their history has left the club.
Yeah.
fuck.
Which
sucks.
Is three. So what do you do? Rotating captains. That's what they should do.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, I consider making, David Swallow their captain. So maybe his brother comes back for them. I don't know.
Good luck with that.
They might be struggling for bodies, so they might need him.
I reckon Stewie Jude, go back to the playing coach. At least you know he's going to be out there.
He won't, again, he won't make his decision until the end of pre-season.
Yeah, he won't make his decision until the end of the warm-up. Fuck that.
Is Gary Rowan, did he nominate Geelong?
Geelong, yeah.
So it's one that North missed out on.
Well, I think it didn't suit either.
He's from Geelong.
Yeah.
Well, he's got family down there.
One thing North did really well was that every player who tours Arden Street, they charge $5. So we're out of debt now. Fucking raking it in.
There's been a few.
Oh, Brandon Ellis apparently had a look around, which... let's be honest, if he's got a say in it, he ain't living.
Yeah, he could have just been lost, too.
This is true, this is true.
I was looking for the goal square, mate.
I think Corey Ellis had a look around, so he might be going somewhere.
Yeah,
but, probably did. Obviously, Miles is gone, and Sam Lloyd, he is
Bulldogs
off
bound.
To the Bulldogs. Yep, yeah, which, I mean...
We still don't know about Libby yet, do we?
No, we don't know about Libby yet.
I honestly hope he goes somewhere else.
Yeah, but I mean, he's a father-son pick. It's rare that, you know, that they got that long family connection and stuff
Abel
like that.
Did.
Yeah,
you're not going to make him captain.
Fuckload of money.
Yep.
I would love to see someone like Carlton pick him up and make him captain. And Libby just go, fuck yeah, boys.
Righto, boys, here we go.
Well, his old man was a coach of Carlton at one stage, remember?
I'm hoping for it now. Our sources say that he's going to Carlton.
Yeah.
So we'll see that happen, definitely.
I'm a bit concerned on the Hawthorn side of things because there's been lots of players linked to us and, you know, big names as well as names that you have to look up and go, who?
Yeah.
Nobody leaving, though. They haven't started trotting out those names yet, so a bit of a concern there, but anyway.
Who was the... Was it a Gold Coast player?
Scrimshaw.
That's it.
I don't know if that's actually his name, but it's something like that.
No, it's Scrimshaw, that's it. Because he was in last year's draft, obviously, and I was thinking that North were going to pick him up over LDU. And
right.
He's a quality player.
Is he?
I think so. From what I've seen in the under-18s when I was scouting, and the rare moments that I've seen him play this season.
Well, I saw it and I thought, great, that'll fill the hole that Jonathan O'Rourke has left.
I think there's quality there.
Sure. I'll have to take your word for it. I can't say no because no. I don't know a thing about him.
I'd be happy to take him. Aaron Vanderberg heading home to Sydney. Obviously, North picking up Johnson.
Alex?
Yeah.
Really?
As a coach.
Really? As a coach. It'll be interesting to see if he's, interested.
Now, with that, coaches still come at a salary cap, yeah?
No.
But from a different bucket.
Yeah, it's a soft salary cap thing.
So I think it's pretty smart because you look at some of those players that have come across with year-long injuries. Or injuries long enough that, you know, they're not going to play their first year of the contract. Like Paul Ahern did.
Right. I was going to say, it's fairly rare.
Well, it's not common, but it's not unheard of either.
Yeah, there's one.
Yeah. Well, one I can think of offhand. Yeah. But I wonder if that's sort of the loophole that you see some clubs do from now on. Go, look, you can be on the non-playing group, so you're not blocking up salary cap. Still access all our healthcare fund and whatnot. And next year... You know, we'll look at a playing contract. Mind you, with him, with six knee recos.
Yeah.
There goes our slush fund from the touring.
We've said it before, though. I reckon what's best for him is to find another career.
Yeah, 100%. And after a year, you might be like, look, mate, you're a pretty good coach. I reckon you might stay that way.
Yeah, I think so. All right, we got any more big names out there?
Jesus Christ, there's heaps. Darcy Moore's just re-signed with Collingwood, and that was one they were floating around.
It's confirmed, is it?
Tonight, was it?
I'm confirming it, so you heard it
first. So no then?
He's gone. He's gone.
That's the other thing.
I heard that they don't have the cap room for him. That's what I was reading.
Did Elliot re-sign?
Yes.
Yeah, he did.
For 1 year. That's the thing I don't like about this, what happens in pre-trade week, is all the rumours that come up, and when it... Most of the journalists are actually right because they say that, let's say, Gaff is talking to North. But now, if he signs with West Coast, like, fans will say, I told you, that fucking journal was fucking wrong. I'm like, no. He definitely talked to North.
Yeah.
It's when they say he is going to sign and then it's wrong. That's when you get up in arms. But to say that, you know, a lot of the reporting is he's talking to them, it's still a nothing story.
Yeah.
That's his job.
Yeah.
Well, same as the other story, which is saying North is talking to him. Like, that's their fucking job. They should be.
But it's a nothing. There's no information there, really.
Yeah. Well, I hate the sort of pseudo-confirmation. And it happens with Gaff today, yesterday, where they're saying, Gaff has been confirmed to North Melbourne by PCR Radio, who are in no position to confirm anything.
It's been every day, literally, for the last 2 weeks. It's like his wife has quit her job. Like, any confirmation? Nah. All right. He's told mates he's moving.
Really?
Yeah. He told his teammates yesterday.
She's packed up her Etsy store and she's off.
And that tweet's been deleted. Yeah. So I don't listen to anything until it's actually been... Okay, yep, the club said it. All right, now we go. But that's why I can't wait till trade week actually starts.
Lockie Neal requested one to Brisbane.
Yes, confirmed.
Yeah.
That one's fine. It's confirmed by the club. Okay, now they've got to talk.
And when you got an interview with a player, like what happened with Polak, he's like, oh no, I'm wanting to go there.
Yeah, yeah.
In a lot of cases, they still need to make the trade happen. But
it's rare that the trade doesn't happen. You know, I can only think of a couple of times in the past where it hasn't happened.
Yeah, solely because if a player's checked out that badly...
Yeah, you don't want him to stay.
You don't want him around.
That is a nice pick up for Brisbane. I mean, finishing the season on pretty strong form for those guys and people wanting to go there for two seasons in a row.
And good players.
Yeah, it's a big win for those, and there's something to actually look forward to for them going into the start of next year.
It's something they can sell to the fans as well.
Yeah.
You know, it gives them momentum going into round one.
How long's Cam Rayner's contract for? Because there's money waiting for him.
Not long enough. He could be in trouble too, because during the longest kick competition, the girl from the AFLW beat him from the Brisbane team.
Ah, well.
He had two shanks, but anyway, that's the way it goes.
Jesus Christ, if he's on $1 million player in his next contract, I'll be shocked.
How good did he look? You know?
He looked fantastic.
He's going to be an absolute star.
He looked like a man amongst some of those boys.
Yep.
And for a bloke who's
18,
you know, barely able to legally drink.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, he's going to be a monster.
All right, that'll do us for the start of the ship posting season. Next week, we'll actually have some trades free agents and trades that have actually happened. So it'll be none of this rumours. It'll all be confirmed.
And some ship posts as well. Because,
of course, definitely.
That's how it goes.
Yep. And we've got the big UFC this Sunday. So that'll be something to talk about
Conor
as well.
And Khabib.
Go Khabib.
Who are we on?
Khabib.
Khabib in the second round by knockout.
I think Conor's got it.
Really?
Oh, fair. Yeah, Khabib's stand-up's horrible, so I feel like he'll get enough in there.
That's it. I don't think there'll be much stand-up going on.
Yeah.
All right. Bye. All
right, ciao.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.